Good morning. I'm tickled to death over the opportunity to stand here to preach another sermon out of the Word of God. But before we go any further, I want to direct our minds to one of the verses in God's Word that we need to consider anytime we listen to anybody teach, whether it be up here or in the classroom. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. It says, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." So if I'm up here and I'm talking and you can't open up the Bible and find book, chapter, and verse to substantiate what I'm saying, it's not good. And I need to know about it. I want to center this lesson on one of the verses in God's Word that is very, very important. I understand that every word of God is important. According to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for those reasons listed there. So I'm not trying to lessen the value of any of the verses in God's Word, but this verse is very important. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Very short verse. If you want to count it, it's only 7 words, but it's an important verse, a very important verse. Why is that? Well, it's one that we in our Christian walk deal with every week, every day, every hour. If you want to be honest with ourselves, no one in here can honestly say that they're not faced with the demands of this verse every day, where situations arise that our faculties, meaning our hands, our eyes, our feet, aren't faced with situations that will either make us adhere or err to this verse. But to begin, let's understand the importance of this verse. The word that is important to me, if not the most important word in this whole verse, the word that should be underlined, circled, highlighted, whatever you want to say, is the word "if." If is a conditional word. I like to pick on the kids in here a lot, I guess because I have my own kids now. But if your parents were trying to teach you the responsibility of having chores and the value of money, so they say, "Well, we're going to give you 10 chores that you need to do by the end of the week. And if you try very, very hard, get your best effort, we'll give you $10 at the end of the week." Well, you understand from that an action is required, correct? And not one with just your mouth, because you can say, "Mom, I'm going to clean my room," or "Mom, I'm going to make my bed," all you want. Until you actually do it, you're not getting a dime, right? Well, the same thing with the Lord. We can say, "God, I love you. Lord, I agape you." But until we actually show him by putting that effort forth to keep his commandments, it means very little. It's nothing but lip service. If you turn over to 1 John 3:18, he says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." As a matter of fact, God goes on to say that if we don't keep his commandments and we say that we love him, that we are liars. If you turn over one page probably in your book, 1 John 2:3, it says, "And hereby we do know that we know him, if," there's that word "if" again, "if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And we know, of course, that means all of God's commandments. Because going back to the example with the kids and the chores, the kid only keeps the easy chores, the ones that he wants to do. And at the end of the week, he says, "Mama, I made my bed, I cleaned my room." His mom's going to call him out on that, isn't he? She's going to say, "Well, you didn't cut the grass, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. You're not getting a reward for that." The same thing with the Lord. We can't expect to only do what we want to do and get a full reward for that. Now, I'm going to ask a question, and it might sound silly. Can we all say, should we all keep God's commandments? Should that be a goal of ours? Of course we should. Now, I'm going to ask a question that's not so silly. Can we all say with confidence that we know every commandment in the Word of God that we need to keep? That's a little tougher one to answer, but I'm sure if we don't know, I think we would all agree that it would be very important for us to find those things out, because we're going to be judged by those things. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word that sticks out to me there is ashamed. On the day of judgment, we're going to be judged by the perfect law of liberty. In the book of James chapter 1, it tells us a little bit about that. That law, of course, being the New Testament. We need to keep those commandments. If we're unaware of some of the commandments that we need to keep, would there be some shame on our part on the day of judgment? Of course there will be. We'll be like that kid that likes to talk in class and goof off, and then the teacher decides to call him to the front of the classroom to answer the toughest question of the day, and the kid just stands there red-faced, ashamed, while his classmates are giggling at him because he has no clue on what's going on. And there will be some clueless people on the day of judgment as far as keeping the commandments they needed to keep is concerned. But it's saying, God, you know, I didn't know I was supposed to do that, or I didn't know I was supposed to do this. Is that going to fly on the day of judgment? What will be a fair and just answer from God? Well, you didn't read, you didn't study, you didn't want to know. And we don't want to be found in that position on the day of judgment. You know, the Bible is useful in many ways. If we're feeling down, there's a verse to pick us up. If we need encouragement, there's verses in the Bible for that. If we need guidance, look no further. You'll find it in these pages. The Bible is beautiful. It transcends time. It's always relevant. It's the most popular book in the entire world. It's the number one seller year after year. About 40 different men wrote it in about 2 different languages. For the most part, they lived in different countries, in different cities, geographical regions. And on top of that, it was written over about a 1,600-year period. And despite all those variables, when you put it all together, the formless Bible that we have in front of us, none of it contradicts itself. That's amazing. The Bible is the confirmed word of God. We need to fully believe that. The evidence is there. We need to do what he says. And the Bible will encourage you. The Bible will lift you up. The Bible will guide you. But the Bible will also let you know a little bit about God's nature. Malachi 3:6, one of the ones that John likes to use a lot. Malachi 3:6, part of that verse says what? For I am the Lord and I change not. Is it a fair assumption to say that the way the Lord judged people for not keeping his commandments back in these Old Testament and New Testament times that we have here? Is it a fair assumption to say that that's the way he's going to judge us for not keeping his commandments? Well, not only is it fair to say, that's exactly what the Bible says. We turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased. Why? For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for what? In samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The things that happened back in these times were done as examples. We see how God looked at disobedience through the reading of the Old Testament, even the New Testament. We see the punishments for those that were doing these things. Now we have plenty of kids in here, back on y'all again, both young and old. If your brother and your sister does something and they get the beating of a lifetime, are you going to go and do the same thing? Not if you're smart, you're not. Well, that's the point the Lord's trying to make. You see how these people got punished? Don't go and do the same thing. And the very helpful thing about the Bible is that I'm sure most of us have realized by now is, like 1 Corinthians 10 says, there are examples behind the commandments that God gives a lot of times. So we have God's commandments. We have examples of why we need to keep those commandments. But in addition to that, we have eyes. We have ears. We see and hear what's going on in this world today. We see the foolishness of people and the things that happen to them for not keeping God's commandments. Because although we live in a more technologically advanced world, the things people did back then are the same things people are doing today. You ever heard the expression, there's nothing new under the sun? Ecclesiastes 1:9. Ecclesiastes 1:9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Now, before we get into some of these all-important scriptural examples, I want to bring out an all-important point. Growing up, especially when I was a teenager, so I'm picking on y'all now, when my parents told me, don't do this or don't do that or don't go here, don't hang out with these people, I would roll my eyes and think to myself, here we go again. But I can honestly stand here and say at the tender age of 29, not far removed from where you're at, I honestly regret that. Because they were just looking out for my best interest. And here is the all-important point I'm trying to make. Similar to the physical parental figures that God has given us, God himself is not telling us to do something or not to do something to ruin our so-called fun or to make us not seem cool. And sometimes we have to humble ourselves to realize that. Because if we take a close look at God's commandments, past and present, we will find that they were for man's benefit, physically and spiritually speaking. Deuteronomy 7. With our first example here, Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto them, his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So no matter how pretty the girl was or how handsome the guy was, under no circumstance was God's people to marry anybody from any Gentile nation. Why? Because these Gentile weddings would lead to God's people falling away from him. Keep your finger there in Deuteronomy 7, if you will. Any examples of this happening? If you turn over to 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 11. 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, and was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifices unto God. Notice the wording there back in Deuteronomy 7:4, and compare it to verse 4 here in 1 Kings 11. What happened to Solomon? The exact same thing God said would happen. Word for word, pretty much. Does God know what he's talking about? Was that commandment to hurt or to help man? Solomon was wise, according to 1 Kings 10:23 and 24. It says, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Solomon was indeed wise, wise above all his peers. But this story shows that even the wisest men doesn't know as much as God knows. And this is not the only situation that these children of Israel didn't obey this commandment, but it's definitely one that sticks out. Looking at the commandment in Deuteronomy 7, we understand that Solomon should have kept that commandment. Even today, although we're not commanded not to marry people who are not Christians, we see that happening. And that's not always the case, but we do see that happening. Some of us have, unfortunately, either heard or seen it happen. Let's turn over to our next example, 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now, I'm pretty sure a lot of us in here know what book I'm going to, at least what person in that book, to show the example of why we should heed to God's commandment here. In the book of Numbers, chapter 22, we meet a man named Balak who desperately wanted to get rid of the children of Israel. So what does he do? Verse 5, he sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Preadventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I would that he whom thou blessest, bless, and whom thou cursest, curse. What do you think God would say to somebody who tries to curse his very own children, as it said back there? Verse 12, and God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. If you wanted to start a book of the 10 most ridiculous requests, I'm pretty sure that would be on the list. Now, at the end of the day, we understand what happened in Numbers 31:16. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. That's the what. Here's the why. Jude 1:11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the arrow of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Some King James Bibles translate that Korah. 2 Peter 15 as well kind of expands on Jude 1. 2 Peter 2:15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Are people the same today? We have pulpit hustlers all across this earth right now teaching that the more money you have, the more God loves you. We have teenagers all across this land on street corners selling drugs, and other teenagers coming and blowing their brains out because that's their money-making corner. We have women and men selling their bodies for money. We have corporate executives from Fortune 500 companies swindling money from investors. But thou, man of God, flee these things. Does God know what he's talking about? Of course he does. Now, we should always believe what God says. We always should keep his commandments, like John 14:15 says. It says we need to keep his commandments, but it's also fair to say that he has given these commandments to us because he loves us. And he expects us to keep them. According to Revelation 3:19, he will punish us and chasten us if we don't. There are many more examples in the Bible that show us that God is a consistent God, that show us that he is a God that expects us to listen to him in order to be rewarded spiritually. And we should appreciate that consistency. He's consistent with the rewards and consistent with the punishments. Speaking to Abraham in Genesis 26, verse 4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Speaking to Hezekiah in 2 Kings 18, verse 6. He says, for he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And then what? Well, the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Speaking to us, 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the Son of his, on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Consistent, no doubt, God is consistent with those who keep his commandments, they will get a reward. On the flip side, speaking to Adam, Genesis 3, verse 11. Genesis 3, verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? Verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast not hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it in all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Speaking of Judah in 2 Kings 17, verse 19, 2 Kings 17, verse 19, he says, also Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. And the Lord, what did he do then? And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. So likewise, speaking to us today, Second Thessalonians 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, doing what? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on who? On them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Consistent, no doubt, God is consistent. Those who don't keep his commandments will get punished. We see that from Genesis until now. So it would be very beneficial for us to take the time to open up the Bible and to read and understand the commandments that God would want us to keep, the ones that we're going to be judged by. But most importantly, we have to take an honest look at ourselves and see, well, are we doing those things? And not walk away from that reflection if we're not. James 1:23. It says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth this way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Keeping all of God's commandments takes a lot of work. We have to put in a lot of work. Well, we're going to be judged according to that work that we put in and rewarded one way or the other, either punished or rewarded. Revelation 20, verse 11 says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled, and there was found no place for him. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according, what? To their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That word work there means toil. We have to toil. And it all comes down to choices. Do we sit on the couch all day and watch TV? Or do we open up the Bible and study it? One of those things is easy, and one of those things takes a lot of work. Are we going to browse the internet all day? Or are we going to prepare studies and Bible lessons that might prove beneficial for us and to those who ask for the hope that is in us, and to silence the gainsayers? Are we going to do that? One of them's easy. One of them takes a lot of work. Are we going to spend our money on music with explicit lyrics and video games that glorify violence? Are we going to fight the temptation to do so? One of those is easy, and one of those takes a lot of work. No one said that keeping all of God's commandments is easy, is the easiest thing in the world to do. The easiest thing in the world to do is all the stuff that takes very little effort, the quote unquote fun stuff, the God rebelling stuff that the devil puts before us to indulge in. Well, we have to be dead to those things in the world, but not of it. It's a lot easier to sit on the couch with the remote than it is with the Bible and the concordance. And I think we all know that, including myself. But it's all about choices and understanding that we're going to be judged by those choices. If we love God, let us prove that by keeping his commandments. This morning is a great opportunity for those who need to take the first step in their Christian obedience towards God, the initial steps that we all need to take. And that is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to make that confession with our mouths, to repent of our sins, and to be baptized, which adds us to his body. And we would love for you to come forward today, but any opportunity throughout the week, you have opportunity throughout the week to do so as well. Whenever it is, it says the angels in heaven rejoice. This invitation is also for those that need the prayers for the church for any other reasons, encouragement, or whatever it may be. Whatever your request is, please let it be known now while we stand and sing.